4.
Number 4 is from the Intergovernmental Relations Staff, 2012 Legislative Updates. This is informational, unless otherwise directed by me.
Not a single one did you vote.
Mr. De La Rosa and Ms. Babbles, you're on. And we have visitors, I guess, will be maybe asking to speak, or that's up to you, I guess. Since they came, would they be happy to entertain them?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning.
Roy De La Rosa, County Babbles from Intergovernmental Relations. I'd like to talk briefly on other legislative matters and updates. Two important items, namely the youth aids and family care, as well as a third item, which is just more of a procedural item at the end. As it relates to youth aids, as you recall, during the course of the state budget, youth aids to counties was cut by 10%. For Milwaukee County specifically, that was about a $3.6 million reduction in youth aids. Furthermore, the state budget authorized the Department of Administration to implement a lapse plan to deal with the state deficit. With that said, in February, the Joint Finance Committee and took action on that plan was proposed by the administration and further reduced youth aids to Milwaukee County by an additional $1.4 million. So between the state budget and the lapse plan, that's approximately a $5 million reduction in youth aids for Milwaukee County. What's particularly troublesome is the manner in which the Department of Corrections formulated its lapse plan. It basically did that on the backs of counties. Of the approximately $9.4 million lapse plan from the Department of Corrections, approximately 42%, 41%, or approximately $3.6 million came out of youth aids, or basically juvenile justice. I say that's troublesome in relationship to the fact that the department has already reduced two juvenile correctional institutions by two facilities, and in light of that, there still remains a thirst for additional revenues. Furthermore, we understand the Department of Corrections is going to be coming before the Joint Finance Committee requesting additional money to deal with overtime and other costs associated to the entire Department of Corrections operations. However, given the timing of all this, it took place in February, the Joint Finance Committee that did approve the plan, so we do have those reductions in place. Coming forward. One president to family care?
Sure.
As it relates to family care, there are specifically two pieces of legislation before the legislature, and this is final week of regular floor activity for the session. Senate Bill 380 and Senate Bill 477, both of which address the issues of family care. The Senate bill passed unanimously through the Senate. The Assembly bill, which had a public hearing a couple of weeks ago, and at this point I would like to particularly thank Supervisor Dimitrievich, who took the time and the effort to give an excellent presentation reflective of concerns for family care before the Assembly Aging and Long-Term Care Committee. Mr. Chairman, I'd also like to thank you for your comments and written communications, as well as Chairman Holloway's, to the Chairman of the Committee, as well as Assembly and Senate leadership, stressing them to pass legislation widely needed to help the elderly and disabled in Milwaukee County and end the waiting list periods that the administration has decided to put into place, particularly in light of the communications from the federal government, Centers for Medicaid and Medicaid Services, who have indicated they are jeopardizing, by taking such action, the state is jeopardizing additional federal resources in excess of $1.7 billion. With that said, our understanding is the Assembly bill is scheduled to come forward tomorrow or Wednesday, depending on how it goes, for purposes of passage in the Assembly. And the Senate is expected to be available Wednesday and Thursday of this week for concurrence with the Assembly bill that should be coming over. Sometime again Wednesday, Tuesday or Wednesday. In a nutshell, that's basically as far as the two specific items. And then I just want to mention, this is the final week of the legislative session. With that said, anything and everything could happen. Basically, as Ms. Babbles have indicated, the procedural process by which a bill would be going back and forth between houses. While that is the process normally, this last week, anything could happen. And I just want to put that out as a qualifier because, with that said, it's expected to go very late Thursday, probably into Friday, before they wrap up their regular business. They could only be called back into session for special orders or to take up veto overrides. That would be coming up in the remainder of the schedule. Otherwise, they'll be completing their regular business.
Okay. Before I go to committee, I just had to recognize if you're talking Mo has been heavily involved in seeing Ms. Ledger and family care, and Director Cologne and Ms. Lydate. We could give the opportunity. Is there anything you would like to add to what intergovernmental staff has said in these two areas? Do you have the opportunity, or just you have to stay vigilant on this? Anything can happen, as was said, correct? And you're making good contact with each other, obviously. Okay. All right. Supervisor, you had a comment or question, please?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
On the matter of family care, is so with these few days being left, I know it's very hard to predict anything in state government, but is it, for our staff, is it very likely that family care will be taken up? I mean, I know it's made its way through, but is it set for where it needs to be taken up for a vote on the floor? Or, I mean,
on December,
yes,
as it stands right now on the Assembly side, it is scheduled for Tuesday, a special order. At this point, I would like to acknowledge also the county executive was present in Madison on a couple of occasions,
mm-hmm.
along with one of the occasions that comes up in the Assembly, as well as in the Senate, to speak on behalf of lifting the caps and expansion of the program.
Yes. And so that was of concern to me. I mean, it sounds, I can't see that not happening, but as Mr. Deller also mentioned, I mean, the clock is no longer just ticking. It expired in December. The letter was sent from the federal government. So it's just unbelievable to me that we're now in the middle of March here, and like Mr. Deller also said, I'm just in shock that we're just, you know, disregarding the federal government's mandate. It was not a gentle letter asking kindly. It was a mandate. And we now have hundreds, I believe, last time we checked it was 600, but it could be more with each day, of seniors that we've never, to my knowledge, had a waiting list for seniors and family care. And I can tell you through my service in the Commission on Aging, it's causing a great deal of concern. People, seniors are unsure if they should even enroll, which worries me too. Because that means people, you know, have the right to those services and are uncertain. So I'm worried about the timing. I sure hope that by Thursday it's taken care of. And one last thing that I have to mention, I couldn't be here without mentioning it, and our staff, you know, left it out because it's not necessarily part of the legislation, but you do realize that simultaneously with lifting the cap, the Department of Health and Human Services has said clearly, to my knowledge, unless something has changed, that they would simultaneously institute, as we spoke about here, the $80 million or so of cuts in efficiencies to family care. And that's something that really makes me nervous here in Milwaukee County, because we know that any cut of any nature affects us proportionately more than anyone in the state. And as I've looked through them and tried to digest them, I'll just sum it up here. I think almost almost $50 million of the efficiencies, so-called, but are actually cuts, come from what is referred to as natural supports. And I've had many senior citizens and get kind of sensitive about it, come to me and say, what does natural supports mean? You know what it means? It means good luck finding a family member who can take full-time care of you. That's what we tell our senior citizens in Milwaukee County, and I just wanted that to be on the record because I find that very disturbing. So let's hope that the cap is lifted, because that's the right thing to do. It never should have been on, never should have been placed. We're disregarding the federal government's mandate, and if those cuts do come down, I really hope that Milwaukee County and this board has a great record of standing up for senior citizens. But so please stay tuned. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
In response to Supervisor Dimitrovich's question for clarity purposes, while the Senate version of the bill did pass the Senate, the Assembly version is going to be different. It has an amendment tacked onto it that requires expansion of the program to other counties to have to come before the Joint Finance Committee. So with that amendment, if that passes in the Assembly, it does have to go to the Senate for concurrence. So there is that process of it having to go to the next House for concurrence in a very short time period.
I'd like to ask a question on the youth aids area. And, of course, we talk about that. We get into incarceration, our juvenile justice system. We know we have one only in La Crosse because Ethan Allen was closed, and that was a budgetary thing. We thought we'd get some aid from that. But we have looked into other resources to use where juveniles can go without having to, you know, go to La Crosse. And what is the status of that? Can I ask on that? Have you been involved in that, of course? Mr. Clone or Mr. Moe, can you give us that information?
Yeah, I can.
Introduce yourselves, please, for those listening.
I'm Hector Clone, director from the Health and Human Services. Eric Wolf, administrator of the Health and Human Services. We have provided the board with a couple of reports on youth dates. One was in December after a verbal conversation we had with DOC regarding the possible cuts that were coming. Then in January, they provided us with an official memo indicating the cuts, which was a little bit less than what was communicated to us over the phone. And that first report indicated that we were going to have about a $1.2 million revenue shortfall. And then after the memo came in, it turned out to be a projected $789,000 shortfall. Since then, we've done some actual 18-month analysis based on, and that analysis shows that youth are not going as much to state correctional facilities. They're being serviced more in the community. Now, that's based on the last 18 months. That could change. But based on the last 18-month actual numbers, now we're anticipating that we'll have about a $600,000 surplus plus $200,000 that we've realized in some of our savings with our contracts. So we think that we can address that $789,000 revenue shortfall that we had in that previous memo. So again, this is based on the last 18 months, which has shown that more of our kids are being serviced in the community versus in the state correctional facilities. We hope that trend continues, because if it doesn't, then we could see a significant deficit in the hope.
Just to follow up, Mr. Chairman and Supervisors, the other piece of that you presented as well with Director Cologne was both the health and human needs was where we're at with the concept of utilizing local secure facilities.
Mm-hmm.
So we are in the process of developing a plan that hopefully come June or July, we'll probably be back in front of the board probably in May, because there's some information in front of the county board that will allow us to develop a short-term program similar to the discussions we've had in months past, utilizing the receipt option. Rock County is looking at this option. Fond du Lac is looking at it. So what you're sort of starting to see emerge is counties trying to figure out how are they going to move forward in light of less resources and also lower capacities and facilities to really leverage those. So the health and human needs package, they have a kind of flow chart, kind of to simplify things, of what services are available and how kids would be directed. So I would just add, if this body is inclined to follow up on the youth age funding piece and, more importantly, the joint finance request that's come out from the Department of Corrections, is that Mr. De La Rosa had indicated about 42% of Department of Corrections' lapse plan was targeted to juvenile justice.
Mm-hmm.
Just to put that in context, juvenile corrections within the large umbrella of large corrections, adult, is probably less than 10%. So clearly, kind of weighed much heavily on the juvenile justice side. And Ms. Madeline loves me to make this point. But one of the things that really sort of gets under my skin in this issue is just that not only did they cut youth aids, but in the context of Mr. De La Rosa said they closed two institutions to decrease costs. They probably decreased costs to an extent, but in the budget they also added on a $17 surcharge to counties to offset the deficit they incurred over the years. So we're continuing to pay for that deficit. And now what I guess sort of throws some salt on the wounds is that after taking the lapse plan, having to absorb those cuts, now they're coming back and asking for more money in the form of joint program revenue to offset their overtime costs. So as much as youth age was intended to be an incentive to the county, which I think it was, it seems like we continue to, you know, try to scramble to get out of the hole.
Thank you for those comments. I guess, seeing nothing else, I would just say quickly that, you know, this is an issue that you said would be followed up on, and it just seems all studies would show some kind of parental or some kind of family, you know, cooperation or I should say interaction with the youth is so vital. And, you know, you move them to lacrosse, and, you know, that 5-6 hour trip, and you know, and I know we've got other, we've looked at the local initiatives and the money we save and less being incarceration. I don't have to tell you, you've all made these points before, but it just goes to show that, you know, again, that what the localities are doing in reference to these deficits and stuff, and we're really not part of that. And who pays most of this money, and who's most affected? Well, southeastern Wisconsin, particularly Milwaukee County, again. So this is something we have to keep bringing to light and keep working on. So thank you for that. Anything else? Okay, thank you. As every chairman will take just briefly, I want to thank our